is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Dr. Henry Miller of the Pacific Research Institute, writing most recently at the Washington Examiner about testing for SARS-CoV-19. Testing. Henry, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. I tell my story of testing. It is early December 2020. I am outbound in a few days' time for Central Asia, going to Baku, going to the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict, just concluded, via Istanbul. Highly recommended that I get tested for the virus, and it's a requirement for flying Turkish Airlines to Istanbul and then again into Baku. However, testing is not straightforward. I'm in the Big Apple. I'm attached to an excellent hospital, Sloan Kettering, since my illness of some years past. They are very generous at Sloan Kettering. My radiologist says, yeah, sure, we'll set it up for you, John. And he gives orders, and Sloan Kettering bends that enormous apparatus, is dealing with life and death issues all the time. You know how bad it was in December, Henry, with hospitals managing both their regular ill patients and then the COVID-19. It was overwhelming. However, they provided for me. I went in, social distancing, masking, called at my time, went into a room, sat down in a chair. A very nice person came forward, explained what was going to happen. And I was swabbed and tested and told, wait 3 days, we'll send you the results. Well, it's less than 3 days to the airplane, giving me a great deal to think about. When am I going to make it or am I not? Because I cannot get on the airplane without being able to show that test at the gate. It worked out, and I traveled, and I showed that test again in Istanbul when I changed planes. Coming back, it was much the same procedure, although from the Azerbaijan point of view. I tell all this, Henry, because that was then and might still be now. I'm not certain. So help me. What did I go through? What was that testing? Why did it take 2 or 3 days, despite the fact that they wanted to help me? And can we eliminate all of that and make it clear that you can get on an airplane within 12 hours of booking it? Good evening to you, Henry.
Hello, John. Well, we have eliminated some of that already. And actually, we could have earlier. And here's the situation. The testing that you underwent and that I also underwent at around the same time was the PCR test, the polymerase chain reaction test, which measures the viral RNA. It measures intact RNA that's infectious, virus, and it also measures fragments that are likely non-infectious after a person has been infected, either symptomatically or asymptomatically. In effect, a better test for determining whether you're infectious with the COVID-19 virus at any given time is the so-called antigen test. That measures the proteins in the viral coat. There are now a bunch of rapid response antigen tests that give you a result that you can do at home in 10 or 15 or 20 minutes. That has tremendous utility. It's not quite as accurate as the PCR test, but almost. Doing repetitions of it, say on successive days, give you a very high probability of either that you're infectious or you're not infectious.
I have puzzled anecdotes told to me by colleagues about what is happening, say, at the White House in order to meet with high officials or the president. And what happened recently at the Valdai Discussion Club, a colleague of mine attended the speech by Vladimir Putin, who's very cautious about the virus, very, very cautious. And good for him. However, he told me that he was tested 4 times to get into the room, through from the hotel to the bus to the site of the venue and inside the building. That sounds likely to be an antigen test. Is that correct, Henry?
Yes, that's an antigen test. And it comports with something that I read from an epidemiologist at Harvard recently, who said that before he visits his elderly parents, he actually does the antigen test in the car outside their home, waits the 15 minutes to get a negative result before he goes into the house. And this has much broader implications because it can convert students, children who are exposed from exposure and quarantine for 10 days or for several days after a PCR test to test and stay in class if they test negative with the rapid response test. So that's very important. And the rapid response test has been underemphasized until very recently. The government has finally put $1 billion into acquiring more of them so that they'll be readily available. Currently, they're about $7 to $12 a piece at pharmacies. They're available over the counter. But $7 to $12 a shot is really too expensive to be done very, very frequently. The price will come down, and that'll change things substantially.
Well, this certainly looks like what I could have used all during 2020 when I was commuting to New York or when I was walking around the streets of New York. Why wasn't it available, Henry, if it's $7 and you can know right away so you have some confidence? I always worried that I was going to be a carrier, not get sick myself, but take it into the midst of people who were not sick. Why didn't I have it last summer?
That's a good question, John, and I don't know the answer to that. But that was really a failure of public health policy. It was partly that FDA was really overly stringently regulating these products. They were regulating them as medical devices instead of considering that they were a public health tool and needed to be out and available in large numbers as quickly as possible.
So right now I could buy these tests. And when I travel to visit someone, I could give myself the test before I go into their presence, even though masking, social distancing, I understand. But you can carry it around with you and have confidence and show it to other people, and it's trustworthy. Is that correct?
Exactly. And it's especially important, as in that example of visiting people who are elderly or especially immunocompromised, because it tells you in real time whether you're likely to be infectious or not.
And that these things are now available, is it widely known, Henry? Because I read it in your column in the Washington Examiner, but I'm asking all these questions. I read a lot, Henry, and I didn't have this information that I could go buy it at a store or order it. Is it prescription only, or can you get it anywhere?
No, it's over the counter. I saw them last week at Walgreens out here in Northern California. And I think there was a limit of 4 or 6 or something that you could buy at any one time. But they are over-the-counter, no prescription necessary.
And this would be a tool to reopen offices or have a hybrid return to the office by workers. And I would recommend it to everyone with children who are going in and out of strange environments because they can be asymptomatic. You can't be sure when the children come home. I'm just following through on the logic of this. It seems to me that it would open up avenues that are not now available if it became commonplace.
Absolutely, John. It makes it possible to avoid quarantine as well, so that if you were exposed to someone who was infected, who's known to be infected, instead of taking the PCR test, waiting several days,
right,
or going into self-imposed quarantine, you can take the rapid response antigen test on, say, day 0 and maybe day 1 and day 2 to give it time to replicate if you are infected. And if you get negatives, you're pretty well assured that you're not infected and you're not infectious.
I'm speaking with Dr. Henry Miller of the Pacific Research Institute, writing at the Washington Examiner about a door opener for America to return to business as usual, or at least business in the time of the pandemic. We're going to turn to another recommendation from Dr. Henry Miller. Since last we talked, I have followed his advice not only about the third jab, Moderna, but also about the flu shot, which Henry is keen on for these last decades of my talking to him at this time of year. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.